Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." I want to continue this morning with our study of what we believe in our series there that we kind of started. And last time, the subject was God, what we believe about God. The Second London Baptist Confession says, "The Lord our God is but one only living and true God." That's the opening words of chapter 2, paragraph 1. And other statements of faith open up very similarly. They open up just like the Bible does. At least, I should say, other Baptist statement of faith. That's our focus, right? The foundation was laid in Article 1 of these old confessions, talking about the Bible. We went through and we talked about the Bible, and then, of course, we didn't exhaust the subject. There's much more that could be said. Now we're looking at who God is. Because without the Bible, we wouldn't know who God is. As I mentioned last time, the book of Romans tells us that the world, the unbelieving world, is without excuse because the heavens declare, the world around us declare that even the invisible things are created by Him. But there's limits, right? And we see that all around the world. That whereas you'll never come across the culture, a people, a tribe, or any group of people who didn't have some form of worship to some God. In other words, you never found anywhere an atheistic group of people. There was much confusion that abounded in the world. Why? Because they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They left off from the scriptures. Many cultures did. In the beginning, they all knew who God was because they were all descended from Adam. Then the flood happened, but we're all descended from Noah. The Bible tells us that we're all together at the Tower of Babel. But then the Lord came and languages happened and people left off and they dispersed around the world. But not everybody retained the truth of who God was. The only way to retain that is through the written revelation found in God's Word. And so, what we find here is in his opening statement here, the opening statement, the old statements of faith, is they open up with the assumption that there is a God. You notice that? The Lord our God is but one God. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, or in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. In John chapter 1, in verse 1, if you want to go over there, John opened up his gospel in a very similar fashion. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This bold statement that in the beginning was God. In fact, John very clearly declares the deity of Christ. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. While we could take time to discuss evidences of God and His existence, and there are evidences for God and His existence, we'll not take that time today. For the purposes of this lesson, we'll only assume and declare God's existence. But know this, that you will come into contact with people who may very well ask, and skeptics who may very well ask you, for evidences of God's existence. Know this, that there are evidences all over the place. The fact that a man has the ability to reason, communicate, the fact that we live in a world with such complex design, gives us many, many reasons to show forth the existence of God, many evidences that there are. Perhaps in a later lesson, we'll look at some evidences of God's existence. But today, we want to talk about what we believe about God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse 4, the Bible here says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." What is said here to Israel is true. For us, there is only one true and living God. And yet, tucked away in these passages, in fact, the ones that we've already read, is a truth that we'll get to after a while. Maybe not in this lesson, but maybe in the next one. That is the fact that God is one and yet three. That God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Genesis 1:1, when we read of God right there in that very first verse, that's the word Elohim. But one God, yet plural. And then John breaks it down for us and shows us a little bit more about that. It's not that we have three gods, but we have one expressed. Three. And so we'll get more to that a little bit later. What we find in the scriptures is that besides our God, besides the God of the Bible, there are no other gods. There are false gods in this world, certainly, but we recognize none of them. In Isaiah chapter 44, Isaiah 44 and verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and besides me, there is no God. And so, God does not share heaven with another God. He is not, we have come here today to worship God. We are not here to worship a plurality of gods. When Israel came into the promised land, they came into a land that where there were all sorts of different tribes and people and nations that worshipped all sorts of gods. And God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, told them, don't worship those gods. Don't fall after those gods. We sometimes think, well, we don't run into that sort of thing. I mean, we read about it in the Bible. We read about Solomon and how his wives caused him to follow after false gods. And we read about Paul on Mars Hill. You remember that? He went, was it with the Athenians, and he went up the hill there, and he saw all the inscriptions written to many different gods. He preached about the unknown God, the God of the Bible. And we think, well, we don't run into people like that today. Well, indeed we do. We live in a very multicultural kind of society. There are people who are Hindu and other religions, even in our communities. Hindus have thousands, perhaps millions of gods that they worship and they celebrate. All of those things. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 11, Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 11, thus shall you say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. The Jews were very, very careful. The prophets of God were very, very careful to make sure that the people understood what God was being spoken of. And they were very careful to make sure that the people knew not to follow after the false gods. I was reading the other day, somebody was writing, and he said, you know, as our world falls more and more in this post-Christian world, and we sit down and we pray, and in a public setting, you know, you go into a restaurant, for instance, and you thank God for your food. He said one of the things he started doing is that when he prays, he makes sure that rather than just using the generic name God, he makes sure that he says, you know, something to the effect of the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of the Bible, in his prayers, to make sure that the people who are around him will know that he's speaking to this specific God. And I thought, well, that's a good way to be a witness to people, because a lot of people are ignorant about who God is. But one day all of the false gods will be destroyed, including, beloved, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse 4. Let's start with verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3, and he says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God, lowercase g, false God, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The image of God, uppercase G, the true God. You see, there's a battle going on in our world. There was a battle going on in Corinth, and there's a battle going on today. And that's why it's important to know what we believe about God, who God is, and why we believe it. The God of this world, beloved, is Satan. You remember in the old Scooby-Doo cartoons, there was always the bad guy, the person that Shaggy and all of his team was after, and they were always frightened at this one person, and then they got to the end when the mystery got solved, and they pulled the mask off to find out who it really was. Understand something, that the one behind all of the false gods, no matter their names and however many millions there are, it's Satan that's behind them all. Satan is the one behind it. And so when you read about them, whether it's Baal or Venus or any of the others, the gods of the Greeks, the gods of the Romans, the gods of the Hindus, all of those things, Satan is behind it. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. But, I mean, he is the great deceiver. He's the deceiver of nations. All of those things. But understand, even he will be destroyed. In Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. The devil that deceived them was cast in a lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So the devil right now is causing all sorts of trouble. He's deceiving. He's the God of this world. Don't believe people when they say that he's bound right now. I believe it's the post-mill guys that like to say that. He's not. He's not bound right now. He's out. He's causing all sorts of trouble in this world. But one day, God will have complete and total victory over all the gods of this world, including the one who is the worst of all, the one who is the one that we read about in the Scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:4, the one. People say, oh, I'm not a Satan worshiper. I worship this God or that God. Well, actually, if you're not following the Scriptures, technically there's only two religions of this world. There's only Christianity, there's only God's religion, and there's Satan's religion, folks. And that's where we're at. But understand something, too. When we think about what we believe about God, we believe what we believe because of what the Bible says. That's where it's grounded. And in the oldest book of the New Testament, the book of James, it's a good trivia question for you. But in the book of James, chapter 2, I like how our Bibles are lined up with the Gospels first and then laid out the way that they are. But if you think about a chronological manner in which the the books are laid out, and you read the book of James as being a very early book, probably the oldest book that was written to the New Testament. You read it that way, then it kind of is a new light to you. I mean, he writes to James, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greeting. He's writing to folks who are scattered and all of that. So, anyway, that's for another time. That's free. That wasn't even in my notes. But in verse 19, in chapter 2, he says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." Understand that there are many in this world who say that they believe the God of the Bible. So you'll find that in this world there's a wide spectrum of people under the umbrella that is commonly known as Christianity. And in fact, the further that this culture drifts from true Christianity, the more and more people want to be crowded underneath the umbrella that is called Christianity. Folks, let me tell you, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, they should never, ever be considered Christian. They are not Christian religions.
Amen.
And for that matter, neither is Catholicism. Catholicism is not a Christian religion. Understand that there are some people that go so far as to say, even in this world, they will say that because we are monotheistic, that's a fancy word for belief in one God. They say, well, because we're monotheistic and the Muslims are monotheistic, they say that we're all just following the same God, just a different name. That's also a lie. Don't believe that sort of thing. It's also a horrible thing. So whenever a preacher gets pinned down, and especially on CNN or something, you know, it's uncomfortable and they're in a hot seat. They say, well, is Jesus the only way? Or they'll say, are Muslims going to hell? Be careful. Listen to them carefully. See what they say. We know the Scripture. Scripture says there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. James very clearly says, in here, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. There are people in this world who believe in one God and yet are devilish still. Okay? Just understand that. They're not on their way to heaven just because they believe in one God. And that includes even people who work their way into good, sound churches. Okay? Now, This is very, very something that we need to understand as well. And as you read the rest of the text, he says, "But wilt thou know, O vain man," verse 20, "that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith also. "Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers, and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." In other words, what he's saying here is that if you believe in God, you've been saved by the grace of God, you are truly one of God's people, there's going to be a change, and it's going to be evidence of that. Works is not, as some people try to say, works is not the key to being saved, but it is an outgrowth. You work because you are saved, and you'll see that evidence. Just like the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And so belief in one God may as well be a belief in no God if you're not trusting in the God of the Bible. I'll take a step further and just tell you that if a person says that they believe in Christ, if they're not believing in the Christ of the Bible, they're not truly saved. And there are a lot of people like that. They believe in the Jesus that maybe they've seen on Chosen, but they don't know anything about a relationship with Jesus Christ. They believe in a Jesus that's more like a genie in a bottle that they can call on maybe every once in a while. They have no clue about any relationship of any sort. What we believe about God is important. C.D. Cole, in his Definitions of Doctrine, Volume 1. C.D. Cole, some of y'all know, some of you don't, but C.D. Cole was an old Baptist from early days of the Baptist Examiner. He's up in Kentucky. Even predates the Baptist Examiner. Some of his books have been reprinted by the Bryant Station. They're good to get a hold of if you can. Don't think they cost very much. But he gave this definition when he talked about the fact that God is infinite. We're going to start to get into some of the attributes of God, some of the things that are attributed to God and who He is, which separates Him from the gods of the world, including Satan. This is one of them. God is infinite. Infinity, when applied to God, means that He is unbounded, unlimited, unsearchable, immeasurable, incomparable, and incomprehensible. Over in the book of Job, chapter 11, Job chapter 11, verse 7 says this. I love the book of Job. Job is a very God-centered book. Job does a lot of talking to God. Job's friends do a lot of talking about God. And then you get to the end of the book and you find God, perhaps one of the longest speeches ever recorded from God. It's just amazing. But Job chapter 11 and verse 7 says, "Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection?" He goes on to say, "It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell, what canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea." You think about this for a moment. And this, beloved, Job is the oldest book of the Old Testament. Now you think about this for a moment. These guys, what did they know about heaven and the depths and the oceans and all that? Well, they didn't know a whole lot, did they? Not compared to us. But what do we know? Well, we know a lot more. And what have we found out? That this universe is massive, beloved. That there are depths of the ocean that are so deep and so vast. And there's heights of heaven that are so magnificent. What's that tell us? Zophar was right. No amount of human searching or reasoning can discover God. All the words that Brother Cole used to describe God are exactly the opposite of human beings. They're the exact opposite of the false gods of this world. They're the exact opposite of Satan himself. God is infinite. We're finite. And this can be applied to all of his attributes. God's infinity as to space is called his omnipresence. God is everywhere at all times. In fact, God's infinity as to time is called his eternity. There's never been a place in history where God wasn't. From the beginning of time all the way up until the end of time, there's God. God's infinity as to knowledge is his omniscience. He knows everything. God's infinity as to power is his omnipotence. Oh, beloved, God is all powerful. We could speak of God's infinite love, his infinite grace, his infinite mercy. We could go on and on and preach for hours and days and series. Truly, God is infinite. And I think we'll stop there. And Lord willing, next week, next time, we gather together on, it's my turn for the Sunday school. We'll continue on with this great subject of what we believe about God.